Good afternoon. So my name is Anna Buczak. I am from Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Lab. I am actually a computer scientist, artificial intelligence, and so on. But as my co-authors, I have some medical doctors. So like Brian here. And I will be talking about the work that we did under our Center of Excellence, which is clustering electronic medical records of patients with MRSA. I will start by describing the problems that we are solving. Then I will talk about the methodology, which has the several steps, identification of what we call patient care models, identification of patient care descriptors. Then I will talk a little bit about clustering, some general information, and then cluster validity and feature selection will be addressed. And I will finish by results and conclusions. So our project called Emerge has a goal of generating fully synthetic electronic medical records. And the second goal of the project is once we generate those EMRs to provide them as a data service on the NCPHI grid. So the question is why we are doing this. Well, many researchers develop algorithms for disease outbreak detection. And the newer, more novel algorithms, usually what they require, full electronic medical records. So it's not enough to have like only counts of syndromes or subsyndromes or ICD-9s, but the full records. So this is our, this is why we are doing this. The very good part about synthetic records is that they can be shared with anybody. So there is nothing, there is no real patient like this patient that is in the record. So there is no really need for data agreements and so on. This can be fully shared. And up to now, to the best of our knowledge, we are the first who are producing those full electronic medical records in a synthetic fashion. The method has really two main parts. And the first part is what we call a data mining part. What it does, it identifies similar care patterns for patients with a given sickness, and this is done by extracting the patient care models, descriptors, and clusterings. And then there is, and this will be the main part of my talk today. But there is the second part, which is the production of patient care identities, so information, birth date, gender, ethnic group, health state, so what they are sick with, timelines of disease, and so on. And finally, the generation of the synthetic records themselves. And this is based on the clusters which were identified in this step one. This second part was covered in full in one of the posters that Linda Moniz was is the first author of. And I will have only one slide about it later. But hopefully you went to the poster. Well, if not, you have to download the things from the conference and see it. So the first, our first data mining step. So we have background electronic medical records. These are anonymized records of real people. So this is what cannot be easily shared. What we do, we from those records, which have information about the hospital visits, about lab orders, lab results, rad orders, radiology results, drug orders, we extract what we call patient care models. This is information about what all the healthcare events that happened to a given patient. And I have an example later, and I will show you how they look in detail. These patient care models are of very different lengths. You can have a patient who had one visit only. So patient care model will be very short. Or you can have a patient who had 30 visits, and with this each visit some laboratory orders, laboratory results, and so on. So then this is very long. So what we do in order to be able later to compare them is we compute those patient care descriptors. The patient care descriptors can be seen as summaries of the patient care models. And finally, we cluster them in such a way that the ones which are similar are in one cluster, like cluster one, two, or so, and if they are not similar, they will be in different clusters. And this is my only slide about the second part of the methodology covered in the poster. So basically, we have a patient generation model which generates this basic information about a given patient. So again, birth date, gender, ethnic group, race, but also, you know, what the patient is sick with, so syndromes, subsyndromes, and the times. So the times when the visits happened. Then there is a distance measure, so we calculate which is the closest cluster of the clusters identified in the previous step, most appropriate cluster, and then from this cluster by second distance measure, we get a pilot care descriptor. So this is the one in the data which is the most similar to the synthetic patient. We get from it the related pilot care model. There is a step which is called patient care modifier. It modifies some of the information in the pilot care model, so like the dates of the visits or sometimes the chief complaints, because certain chief complaints are very specific and we don't want them to be out there. And we have an adjusted care model, and from this we have the electronic medical record, which is completely synthetic. So now let's go to how a patient care model looks. Well, this particular patient had two hospital visits. Each visit has information like visit ID, date, patient class, so outpatient, inpatient, could be emergency, age range of the patient, gender, race, discharge disposition, also information if the patient is deceased at the end of the visit, and subsyndromes and syndromes. With the second visit that the patient has, there are three laboratory orders related, and they are all C-MRSA, actually MRSA cultures, two by swab and one by using the specimen urine. And usually you would think, okay, if there are three lab orders, there should be three lab results. Well, we are trying to replicate what is happening often in the data, and the data is not perfect. So in certain cases, there are lab orders, but there are no lab results. And this is an example. And finally, there is a radiology order and radiology result. So from those patient care models, we compute the patient care descriptors, and they all have the same information, at least as far as the names of the columns. So patient ID, age range, gender, race, and so on, the number of visits, the number of lab orders, the number of lab results, and so on, and also the syndromes. So for example, this patient had localized cutaneous lesion, and it had the syndrome once, and all the subsyndromes and different blood cultures, urine cultures, and so on. And we have also the radiology tests, so like DX chest or PX ankle, and so on. Those patient care descriptors are huge. They have about 1,195 features, so those different lines, yes. But they are very sparse, because usually a person gets only a few tests of a given type, and maybe a few syndromes and few subsyndromes. So in order to reduce the sparseness of the data, what we do, we collapse certain of them. And we collapsed mainly the ones which were related to radiology. So like a DX chest can be DX chest 1 view, 2 view, I think even 4 view. So these are put together, and this gives us less features, but still a very big number, 883. So from our data set, in which we have over 450,000 patients, in this study we are only interested in patients with Staphylococcus aureus or MRSA. So it is around 10,000 patient records, and this corresponds to 2,700 plus patients. Of course, MRSA is a strain of SA, which is resistant to many antibiotics, especially to methicillin. And it is very important to for the doctors and healthcare personnel, because actually in 2005, there were around 100,000 cases of invasive MRSA in US, and from it around 18,000 deaths. Historically, there are two types of MRSA, the community-associated and hospital-associated, but they are not completely actually different, and over time, the borders between them are kind of merging. So now let's talk about clustering. Probably most of you know, or you heard the terms many times, but the goal of a clustering is to find natural groupings of data. So if you have just two-dimensional data, which is very easy to visualize, you see an example here, and the question is, how many clusters, how many groups do we have in this data, and what belongs to what? And this is a very easy example. So obviously there are three groups, and obviously this is how which item needs to be in which group. But now look at our data set, in which we have 883 attributes. So there are 883 dimensions. There is no way I can plot this to make sense out of it. And I'm sure you're in the same boat. This is just too many. So this is where you go to a technique like clustering. If you know how many clusters they are, you can use the k-means. If you don't know, then the problem is more difficult, but there are some hierarchical clustering methods, agglomerative or divisive. And actually what they do is they start from all the possible items being one in each cluster, like here, and then merging them. So the two, the most similar, will be merged at the beginning, and then the next, and the next, and so on till the end. At the end, you get one cluster. But the question is, where to cut it? You know, how many clusters they are. And very often, it is obvious. So very often, you will have a long line somewhere here, and you see the distance here is bigger. But in this case, it is not obvious. So what we are doing with our patient care descriptors, we use this hierarchical agglomerative clustering, and we need to validate the results. So we need to determine the number of clusters, if the patients are properly grouped in a given cluster, and finally, I cannot have the medical doctor who's working with me looking at 2,700 plus, descriptions of patients of everything that happened to them, because this would take a few months. So the method needs to be automatic. Usually, the results of the clustering with one set of features, so like we have 883 features, would be different if you use all the features or if you use a subset of features, you know, 5 or 10, especially if you choose them randomly. So the question is also, which features to use? Do we use all of them, or are there some of them which are more important for MRSA? So actually, in our case, the problem is difficult, because the set of features is not constant. It is not obvious if all the features should be used or a subset. And finally, I don't want Brian to go insane looking at all the patient records. So what we are doing, or what people are usually doing, they are using one of those cluster validity measures, and you know, it's they have equations and so on, and we won't go into it. Just let me tell you that usually people use only one measure. So what we are doing is, since one measure really doesn't seem to be better than another measure, but they give different results, we are using all the four validity measures, and we compute them for each subset of features chosen, and then we determine the underlying number of clusters. So it looks a little bit like this. We have a feature set, we have a metric, we compute the cluster confidence, and then we take those cluster confidence for the different metrics, all of them, add them together. So it is a cluster confidence for a given feature set. Finally, we add those together and we get the overall cluster confidence. And I will show you the graph, the result in one slide. Before I do that, I just wanted to tell you that we tried several distance measures between those patients. We are using Euclidean distance, but different feature sets. So one of them are all the attributes. Another one are 9 MRSA related features, so like MRSA PCR screen, MRSA culture, maybe if it was really methicillin resistant, and we have some other subsets of features that we are using. And this is the result. So we see that the best overall cluster confidence is for 2 clusters, 3 is also pretty good, and 6 is not bad. So the next thing that we did, we have chosen a set 3% of patient care models in such a way that in each cluster there are at least 10, but without telling the doctor, you know, what is what and how it was classified. And we gave this information for the doctor to go through and see how he thinks they should be classified. And based on that, later it was obvious that actually the result with the 6 clusters is the most meaningful from the medical standpoint. So I will show you these results. So basically this is cluster 1. It has around 1,000 elements. Nobody died. The disease flag is 0. And in this cluster, there were primarily patients who have community-associated cutaneous MRSA infections. And some patients had cutaneous disease, some had invasive disease. And those people had the smallest number of lab orders, lab results, RAD orders, RAD results, and the drug orders. Cluster 2 patients appeared more ill, but moderately ill. It was also about 1,000 patients. One person died, and there were about equal numbers of CA and HA disease, and more cutaneous MRSA than in the other one. Cluster 3, these are people who have mainly positive urine cultures. So this suggests nursing home patients or patients who stayed in the hospital for a long time. And hospital-associated infections were more common than 0. Oh, I didn't see the 2. But this is the... Okay, I'm almost done. And okay, cluster 3, nobody died. Cluster 4, people who are very seriously ill, again, nobody dies, but a lot of patients were presumed to have HIV. Cluster 4, this was interesting, 5, sorry, all the patients died. Some deaths were from MRSA, but most were from some other reasons. such as coronary artery disease. And the Staphylococcus aureus infection seemed to be of little significance. So how our doctor put it, those people died with MRSA, but not from MRSA. And cluster six, these were really patients who had almost entirely invasive MRSA. 1.7% of them died. They were very seriously ill. And these people had the largest number of lab orders, lab results, and so on. And this is the last slide. So we have developed a new methodology for generating those full synthetic electronic medical records. In the data mining step, we identify similar care patterns for patients with a given illness. And the problem is really complicated because we don't know how many clusters they are. We don't know which of the 880 features to use. But the method, you know, this measure of overall cluster confidence helps us in achieving the, you know, the right decision and then the right result. All right, so this is the end of the presentation, and do you have some questions?
I'll ask a question.
Okay.
and you may have covered this. When you, before you initiate this process and begin to examine the clusters, do you consider the importance of assessing the quality of the data?
This data comes all from the same source. So we are assuming that the quality of the data of every record is as good.
So are you aware of any, for the particular set of data that you're working with, are you aware of any previous studies that assess that particular data set to determine the validity or equitable quality of that?
We have not seen studies on this particular data set, you know.
What was feature set three?
Feature set three, okay. This is not that the feature set three is the best. It means the six cluster solution is the best. And I did not leave in the slides which features were used. The only thing that I know, it's not all the features because this is feature set one. But I can check it and get to you later. Yeah. You have a question?
Yeah, I'm not in touch with Nadia asking questions. But I thought I'll ask, why did you decide to use clustering as opposed to some other classification techniques? What was the reason behind starting with the clustering process?
Well, for a classification technique, what you need is data and you need a desired class. It's a supervised method. So you need to know exactly, you know, who was in which category. So if I had this data, I would never use clustering, but I didn't have the information. And I didn't want, again, the doctor to go through all the records. So to give me like the best class.
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for that unique and very revealing presentation.